Now, the word come occurs over 3,000 times in the Word of God. And on 1,300 occasions, it's a word of encouragement. It's one of the first words that the Lord Jesus uttered as he began his earthly ministry. You think of the two disciples as he asked the Savior in John 1:39 where his abode was, and he answered, "Come and see." It's one of the last words we hear in the Scripture from his place in heaven. In Revelation, when he says there, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and him that is athirst, come." It's a keynote of Christ's ministry, the word come. And it distinguishes the gospel from the law. See, God's message to Moses was, "Draw not nigh hither." For the old covenant, it is a witness to the separation that sin has caused between a holy God and sinful man. But Christ's message in the gospel is come. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Because he has made peace through the blood of the cross, we can come nigh and approach unto a holy and a righteous God. You think of many invitations that the Lord gives in Scripture using the word come. We've already noted the invitation to the heavy laden in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." We have the invitation to discipleship, "Come and follow me," in Luke 18:22. There is the invitation to receive the inheritance in Matthew 25:34, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God." There is the invitation to the dead. In John 11, when the Savior stood at the side of Lazarus' grave, and he said, "Come forth." In Mark 6:31, what we have read this evening, we have the invitation to rest. It says there in verse 31, "And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." I'm sure Londonderry is like every other congregation in our denomination. When it comes to the summertime, it seems to be that the regular ministries, they shut down. The only ministries that continue on would be the Sunday services in the midweek, unless you have a special endeavor, which you do have among the children coming up. But it must be said that the regular ministries of the church, they shut down. The children's meeting, the youth work, the Sunday school. And God's people, they get a well-earned rest. One man said, "There is no true rest that has not been earned by true work." And everyone enjoys a break from the norm, from the humdrum and routine of everyday life. And times of refreshment, whether from secular employment or even in the ministry of the work of God, it brings a welcome relief when we think and consider the toil and the burden of the day. The traveler on the journey, he looks for some spot in the distance where he'll rest his feet. The sailor looks for a haven, a place where he'll furl his sails and have a little relief from the tempest and the storm. And I'm going to add my own personal observation. I think I can sniff out or see round a corner when you're out shopping with the wife and you see a seat in the distance of that lady's clothes shop. You see that little display unit. You think you can perch yourself there. You see men scouting the land as they're out trying to rest their weary frame when they've been dragged out on a shopping trip with their better half. It's the first thing I look for when I go into a shop. Where can I sit? And there's always a seat beside the changing rooms, and how convenient that is. And it's always populated with men. Men sitting to try and, I don't know, get a little rest from the weariness of the day. And from verse 31, I want to think about tonight, rest for the laboring Christian. Rest for the laboring Christian. There's much that is preached about service, labor, industry, activity. But there's not really much preached to God's people about rest. Now, I'm not speaking about eternal rest, a heavenly rest. I'm speaking about our own times of rest, relaxation, refreshment for those that are laboring Christians, those that are involved in the work of God. Now, I must say before I begin or get into the heart of the message that I understand that there are individuals, because of health issues, because of circumstance and legitimate reason, they are not actively engaged either physically in secular employment or even in the work of God. And they have a legitimate reason. It's not an excuse for not being part of the work of God. I mean actively, physically. Of course, we all have a part prayerfully and financially. But I understand those that, for health reasons or other circumstances, cannot be doing what others can. But for those of you that are engaged in the work of God, that take an active part in God's work, I want to think about rest for the laboring Christian. Now, the first thing I want to consider from this verse is the invitation that was given. It's interesting to note that this verse 31, it only appears in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is a book which focuses on Christ as the servant of Jehovah. It's a book of activity. Its characteristic words are immediately and straightway, and a lot of the chapters begin with the word "and." The narrative, it moves from location to location, event to event, and it moves at a rapid pace. It's only when you get to chapter 10, the account when the Savior is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, and the account of healing blind Bartimaeus, that we read the words, "And Jesus stood still." The Savior, he knew the importance of hard work better than anyone. In Acts 10:28, we read that Jesus Christ, he went about doing good. He said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." And yet at the same time, the Savior, he knew that you and I can only be most effective at the work and the labor of God when we take time for rest. Alexander McLaren, he said there can never be too much activity in the work of God, but there is often disproportional activity. At times, the people of God, they're rushed off their feet. They're running here, there, and everywhere. And they don't take time to heed the Savior's invitation to come apart and to rest. See, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he withdrew from the crowd, the busyness of his schedule. He set aside time for himself. And you and I must remember, yes, though God, he is truly and fully man. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And he needed, in the body of his flesh, the body of his humiliation, he needed sustenance, he needed rest, he needed refreshment, he needed sleep. Savior, truly a man. You can think of him in John 4, the account, as he comes, makes the journey through at that well of Sychar, and he takes his rest from the weariness of the journey as he sits upon the well. Have the account in Mark 4. After a day of teaching the multitudes, the Savior gets into the boat with the disciples. And where do we find him? We find him fast asleep in the hinder part of the boat. See, this invitation here in verse 31 was given to the disciples in tenderness and compassion. The Lord, he knows our frame. And he remembers that we are dust. He can identify with us. He is a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In the context, we notice the circumstance in which this invitation was given. And we notice those to whom it was given. The invitation to rest, to come apart from the crowd, was to those who had labored. And there's some people, and they are never they never work. They never labor in the ministry of God. And they're constantly at leisure. They don't get involved actively in the local congregation. Well, the invitation is not given to you. Rather, the question is put to you from the lips of the Savior, why stand ye idle all the day long? But the invitation is given to those who labor. In verse 30, we read that the disciples, they had just returned. It was the account they were sent out two by two. The 70 were sent out to minister for the Lord. And they were obedient and engaged in the work of the ministry. And the gospel and the call is given for the church of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And here are the disciples, they were obedient to the Great Commission. And so these are the ones to whom the invitation was given. They return. They were excited to tell the Lord all that they had done and all that they had taught in His name. They were filled with nervous energy and overwrought with excitement. And in that moment of telling the Lord Jesus Christ of all that had happened, all that they had seen, I'm sure they forgot about the miles they had covered on foot. And sure, they forgot about the mental exertion, the spiritual conflict, but the Savior didn't forget. The Savior knew that engaging in such ministry would have taken a toll upon their constitution, their being, who they were, body and soul. And so immediately after they come back, after engaged in the service of the Master, He says unto them, come ye yourselves apart and rest away. As a tender shepherd, the Savior knew that these individuals needed to lie down in green pastures. And have you been laboring faithfully for the Savior in the last ministry year? Engaged in Sunday school, the children's work, the youth work, the church work, the door-to-door work, whatever work it might be. Well, this invitation is given to you. Come apart. And rest a while. It comes from the shepherd. And no one who is or has been consistent and faithful and industrious in the service of Christ should ever feel guilty for taking rest and taking a period for refreshment. See, the devil will hurl his fiery darts even at the child of God. If they take a little break, a little vacation, a little holiday, he will seek to accuse them of slothfulness, of laziness. However, the devil is the one that seeks to destroy the children of God. He seeks to drive us to physical and mental and spiritual exhaustion. Oh, the cry might go up from someone's heart, well, there's that old saying, I'd rather burn out than rust out for God. And that might sound a good saying, but one wise old preacher, he said, there's no difference. Out is still out. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you out of the work of God. He wants you out of the work of God, either by physical or mental exhaustion, because you haven't taken the time. He wants you to throw the towel in and say, it's too much for me. He wants you out of the work. The Savior wants you in the work. And He wants you to go on in the work. And that's why He gives the invitation to come apart and rest a while. The invitation that was given, but secondly, we see the instruction that can be gleaned. What instruction can we glean from this verse with respect to the proper use of rest and refreshment for the laboring Christian? Well, from this verse, we see that the invitation was to come apart. It was to separate. It was to withdraw from the crowd, not withdraw from Christ. It was to withdraw from the crowd, not withdraw from Christ. You and I, we never go on a holiday from our union with Jesus Christ. And true Christianity is in the heart and it goes with us wherever we go. Many today, they go on their holidays and they seem to forget that their Christianity goes with them. It crosses national boundaries, and the biblical standards that are the same at home are the same in foreign and distant lands. The Sabbath is always a Sabbath, no matter where you go. Lord's Day observance doesn't jump out of the car when you get to Coleraine University roundabout. It goes with you right to the coast. I wasn't long saved when I was in holidays with my brother and another individual. And, well, it came to the Lord's Day, and I was wondering what we'll do in the Lord's Day. And my brother David, minister in Port Vinon Free Church, he just said to me, and he gave me this counsel, well, what you do here, would you do it at home in the Lord's Day? And so I ask, would you hire out a bike in the Lord's Day? Would you go to a restaurant on the Lord's Day? Would you ski down a slope on the Lord's Day? Would you do these things on the Lord's Day at home? Why do so many Christians do it when they go on holiday? Land borders do not alter God's command. No, this invitation, it was not an invitation to refrain from living for the Lord. It was an invitation to rest from laboring for the Lord. There's something else that we can glean from this, some other instruction about this rest. And it comes across to us more so in the Greek. Not really has the force in our English translation. But the word rest in verse 31, it's in the middle voice. And the middle voice is a tense. It is an action which someone does unto themselves. It's not done by someone else, but it's an action that that individual will do unto themselves. And this invitation to rest, it was something the disciples, they needed to personally undertake for themselves. They were to heed the Savior's command. And can I say to you, child of God, and I say it to my own heart, and my wife would often say this to me, if you do not personally set aside time for yourself, for rest and refreshment, you will have no one else to blame other than yourself if you ever get physically exhausted. The Savior, He gives the command. It's something that you and I need to implement and do for ourselves. None of us are indispensable. The work of God will not stop. If you and I take a little week's holiday to refresh ourselves, God's work will go on. I suppose I'm speaking generally of maybe holiday or extended period of break. But we could all exercise, I'm sure, a little more self-discipline in our everyday life, getting proper rest, to be refreshed for the next day, to live for the Master, to work for the Master. It's something we need to implement and put into practice to and for ourselves. But with all that said, there's something else I want you to glean, very important. Some other instruction from this verse. And if I do not convey this to me, the Reverend Patterson will have me hung, drawn, and quartered in the session here. It was only for a while. Rest and refreshment. It's only for a while. It wasn't to be a period of indefinite rest. The Savior said in the verse, and rest a while. This was not a permanent holiday. They would have to withdraw from leisure as they had withdrawn from labor. But yet again, some of God's people seem to be in constant holiday mode. A little season has grown into a long season. But God's children were servants, were laborers. We're soldiers. And this involves effort and energy and industry and labor. And tonight I'm not advocating you as a laborer in God's work here in Londonderry to seek a life of leisure, a life of pleasure. We must take note that the Savior said, it's rest a while. Disciples, it wouldn't be long until they'd be back again into the midst of the cut and thrust of everyday life. They'd be used by the Master as He gave them bread and fish to go among the multitude and carry to 5,000 men, plus women and children. The instruction that can be gleaned from this verse, it's something we need to do to ourselves. We need to implement it ourselves. Don't feel guilty, child of God, for taking a holiday. We need it, and we'll learn this from our last point that we'll consider when we think about the benefits that we can glean from such a time, the incentives that are gained, the invitation that was given, the instruction that can be gleaned, and the incentives that can be gained. It's obvious that the one who knows all things, he thought it necessary for his disciples to have a time of rest. Matthew Henry said, the most active servants of Christ cannot be always upon the stretch of business, but of bodies that require some relaxation, some breathing time, we shall not be able to serve God day and night without ceasing until we reach heaven. It's what Revelation 4 and 8 tells us. See, all organic life, for all organic life, God has provided periods of rest. In the springtime, nature stirs. And gardens and fields and hedgerows, they bloom into life and continue until the harvest when the leaves begin to fall. And then winter comes and rest falls upon nature. Flowers. I was reading on this, flowers have a time for opening and closing their petals. They have a period of rest. And it's said that their resting hours, they come so frequently and are so varied among the species that botanists, they can construct a floral clock of English wildflowers. And they can tell the time of day or night just by looking at a certain flower if the petals are closed for a little time of rest and a little time of refreshment. But not only in nature do you and I have examples of periods of rest in the Scripture. In the Scripture there are examples and there is biblical principles laid down that those that labor and serve the Master should have times of rest and refreshment. When Solomon built the temple, in 1 Kings chapter 5. Those that were engaged in hard labor, the hewers of stone and those that cut the timber, they were in cycles. They had a time to come home, a time to replenish the physical stores, to attend to the things at home, to build up their mental, physical, and spiritual stores. And what incentive is there? What can we gain by taking that time apart and resting in the work and from the labor of God? Well, it is necessary for the body. The disciples were so busy, we read in this verse, that they had no leisure so much as to eat. They hadn't even had time to replenish their physical strength. And it's possible to underestimate the importance of the body. And usually when we come to church, there's a lot of focus put on the spiritual and not so much necessarily the physical. But the body, your body, it is an important part of man's being. And I know in today's society there is the overemphasis on the body, the outward. And yet as children of God, we are not to neglect the body that God has given to us. While the soul and the body are distinct, it has to be admitted that there is an intrinsic and a vital union between them. For example, there's times that you have been physically ill, and at the same time you've felt sick in your soul. You've had a gloomy and a depressed outlook on your spirit. And then there's times that you've been well rested, you feel physically on top of the world, and there's a corresponding outlook in your mind and your soul. And you and I, we need physical rest. The hands begin to slacken, and the eyes grow heavy. Therefore, we need to care for and nurture the body. As we read this account here in Mark chapter 6, the Savior and his disciples, they went in a boat to separate from the crowd. It didn't really work out that way, because it was the year of Christ's popularity and the crowds were flocking after him, and they spotted the Savior and disciples get into that little boat to cross the Sea of Galilee to a desert place, and they ran around the shore to meet with the Savior. And as the Savior got out of the boat, he was moved with compassion in verse 34. They were a sheep not having a shepherd. And what did the Savior do when he saw them? What's man's greatest need? He taught them. He taught them. There's a lot of emphasis today in the social gospel. But the man's greatest need is that they are taught the Word of God. The Savior, he taught them until it was evening. And both Christ and the disciples saw the need of the multitude. Disciples knew that these people would have been hungry. It had been a long day. There was nowhere really to get any bread or sustenance. They both had saw the need, but only Christ could meet the need. The Savior, he took the bread and the fish and he broke them and he gave them to his disciples. His disciples gave to the multitude round about. Now, did the Savior forget about the physical needs of his disciples? Here was men and they hadn't even time to eat. Well, I don't believe so. If you look at verse 43... it says there, speaking of the disciples, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and off the fishes. A little practical lesson here. The Savior did not leave a place littered. We were in Scarva on Friday. The great Protestant heritage and people. And you walk down that street, and it's like someone just took a skip and threw it all over the street. The Savior and his disciples, they would not be accused of littering. And that's just a little practical thing for the child of God. But did the Savior forget the physical needs of his disciples that were out laboring for him and upon necessity had to give out the bread and the fish to the multitude that had followed them round the lake? No, because some commentators, and I believe, in the context, some commentators believe that it was a basket for each of his disciples. The Lord provided for them in the wilderness. And those that labor for the Master, God will provide for them. And it's very plausible within the context here that Christ provided for his people to replenish their physical stores. Rest strengthens the body, refreshes the mind, and reinvigorates the soul. And heeding the Savior's invitation and coming apart for rest and refreshment, it will add zeal and enthusiasm to your service for Christ. that will remove lethargy and heal dragging in the work of God when it comes to the dark, damp, cold November to January evenings, if you do not take time now, you'll just get bogged down. There'll not be that zeal to get up and out and up and at it unto the work of the Lord. Child of God who has labored for Christ and is laboring faithfully, it is advisable that you come apart with Christ, or you will soon start to come apart. Remember, the physical, the body, and the soul, there is a vital union. There is a lot of depression upon the mind, the stress and the strain and the exertion of life. And the child of God is no different, for upon their secular employment and family commitment, they have their church commitment. So, children of God, take care of yourself. The shepherd, he wanted his sheep to lie down beside still waters. Heaven is our home of eternal rest. And there the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary shall be at rest. But upon this earth, you and I must not neglect the Savior's invitation to come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. He's a tender shepherd. And he knows his sheep. Don't let the devil fire his fiery darts at you if you've been faithful in God's work. We're instructed to withdraw from the crowd and not from Christ. And remember, it's for a little season. I don't want a phone call from the Reverend Patterson saying, what have you done to them up there? They've taken a month's or a year's holiday and vacation. That's not what Christ said. Just for a little while. You have a children's outreach coming up in a week's time. Refresh your body now. Get prepared for it. Get ready for it. That's the incentive for coming apart. It's not for yourself. It's for the glory and the work of God. To return to the work of God enthused and full of zeal after being rested. And trust that you'll heed the Savior's invitation. You'll separate from the crowd, take time for yourself, get built up for the work of God, and that the Lord will use you in the days that lie ahead. Rest for the laboring Christian. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your heart.